Learn how to match your gift for the new studios of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever at thewordendures.org/newstudios.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
He warns that it thinks of the human host as its home, and if it's able to return and enter in again, it tends not to come alone, but invites other demonic spirits into a housewarming party.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Matthew.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Remember last time how Jesus led his disciples into the boat? Did the folks who were asking to follow stick with him or not? St. Matthew doesn't tell you, maybe on purpose, because the big question for you isn't about them, but about you. You going to stick with them? The man who has no place to lay his head, and yet he lays his head down in exhaustion in the boat and goes solidly to sleep. No light sleeper either, like most women. He can sleep through anything, apparently. And so he misses the storm's arrival. Maybe the disciples were already nervous about it before he launched. And how the boat was being swamped, how it was going down. When the disciples wake him, he first rebuked their little faith and their fear. And then he rebuked the wind and the sea. Instant calm. And the disciples are no doubt freaking out. What sort of man is this? Who can talk to the winds and waves, giving orders and have them be obeyed? We saw the answer from Psalm 107. Only Yahweh, only the one who made the sea and the dry land. And remember, at the end, we rejoice that Jesus got into our boat so that even if he chooses not to rebuke the winds and waves, and if we go down like Jonah to Davy Jones' locker, Jesus will just bring us up again. He's got into our boat to do that exactly, to save us, not merely out of this or that hot spot, but to bring us into the great calm of the kingdom. In today's gospel, he's on the other side of the sea. So the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 8th chapter, beginning at the 28th verse. And when he came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men met him, coming out of the tombs, so fierce that no one could pass that way. And behold, they cried out, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now, a herd of many pigs was feeding at some distance from them. And the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, send us away into the herd of pigs." And he said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs. And behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the waters. The herdsmen fled, and going into the city, they told everything, especially what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, all the city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to leave their region. St. Matthew 8, verses 28 to 34. Let us pray. In the greatness of your mercy, Lord Jesus, remember all those who are oppressed and troubled by evil spirits. Speak your strong word and set them free, that they might join us in giving you praise and glory in your holy church. For you live and reign with your Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Ready to dig in? Let's do this. Verse 28. And when he came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men met him, coming out of the tomb, so fierce that no one could pass that way. I had a very good friend, Dr. Lee Maxwell, who actually did his doctoral dissertation on the location that this passage refers to. In St. Matthew, it's called Gadarenes. In Mark, Gerasene, or even Gergesene in some manuscripts. And in the manuscript of Luke's gospel, a similar uncertainty about the actual spelling of the place shows up. What is clear is that it's on the other side of the lake from Capernaum, we assume in the area around Decapolis. What's even more fascinating than the question about the name is that here St. Matthew alone speaks of two demonized men. Both St. Luke and St. Mark have but one. This is the first time, but not the last, that we'll encounter this phenomenon in St. Matthew of doubling what we find in the other evangelists. For example, it shows up in Matthew 20 with the healing of the blind man associated with Jericho, and even with the donkey and the colt that he'll mention in the next chapter. Scholars have busted their heads over this for a long time, trying to discern if there's some meaning that the reader is supposed to supply. St. Augustine, that prolific teacher from North Africa in the 4th and 5th centuries, in his Harmony of the Gospels, he simply assumes Matthew mentions two because two were there, and the others mention only one because one was more prominent and well-known in the surrounding area than the other. In other words, one was the proper villain and the other the tag-along, the sidekick. Remember when we started St. Matthew, we also considered the opinion of St. Jude Chrysostom, contemporary of St. Augustine, that the Holy Spirit in his wisdom did not preserve lockstep stories that would betray their being fabricated, but preserved the distinctives of each evangelist. In any case, these don't wait for Jesus to come to him, these demoniacs. They come rushing at him, and we're told that they're so fierce that folks avoided that area. Their home were the tombs. Jesus goes where others won't. Verse 29. And behold, they cried out, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Quite telling, isn't it? If the disciples in the storm had to ask, "What manner of man is this, that the winds and the seas obey him?" The demons speaking through these afflicted men don't need to ask. They recognize instantly the one in whose presence they are, and they confess that he's the Son of God. And further, they recognize that he's the one with the authority to judge and sentence. So their question, "Have you come to torment us before the time? Have you come to deliver us? A foretaste of the hell into which we will be cast at the end? The fire prepared for the devil and his angels?" St. Cyril of Alexandria in the 5th century said, "The divine nature of the only begotten Son was already scorching the demons in unspeakable flames." Our God is a consuming fire, remember? Hence, we also read in Revelation 14 that the damned are actually tormented in the presence of God and of the Lamb. I suspect that means that his presence is torment to them because of their rejection of his light and his love. And make no mistake about it, it is the God who is a consuming fire that will devour the ungodly. That's the God who washes up ashore at the Gadarenes. That God in the flesh, Jesus. Hence the demonic terror. Verse 30. Now a herd of pigs was feeding at some distance from them. Big clue here, you're not in Jewish territory. Remember, the kosher laws did not permit them to eat pigs. I mean, seriously, a life with no bacon. I am so thankful I live under the New Testament, aren't you? Verse 31. And the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, send us away into the herd of pigs." Whenever we're dealing with angelic life, whether fallen or confirmed in bliss, there is just so much we don't know. Jesus gives us insight, though, into the demons when he teaches in Matthew 12 that when a demon has been shown the door and kicked out of its human host, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and finds none. He warns that it thinks of the human host as its home. And if it's able to return and enter in again, it tends not to come alone, but invites other demonic spirits into a housewarming party. So it is apparently torturous for the demons to not be able to rest in the human persons they've occupied. And from this odd request of the demons here, we learn they can even rest in animals. Somewhat. I mean, it doesn't turn out well for the poor pigs, as you know. St. Peter Chrysologus, 6th century bishop of Ravenna in Italy, he commented, "Plunging from the sky, they, the demons, seek filth. After living in the upper world, they look at the slough of pigs. A herd is sent into a herd." Verse 32. "And he said to them, 'Go.' So they came out and went into the pigs, and behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the waters." So why did the Lord Jesus allow the demons to destroy the poor pigs? Chrysologus ponders that, and he concludes it's to show us the true nature of demons in how they think about humanity. They're not your friends. They're out to destroy you. They hate creation itself. He describes their malice and hatred as ancient and deep-rooted, especially against the human race. And though Matthew doesn't have Jesus ask their name, note that it must indeed have been a legion of demons that came out of these two men to move into and destroy a whole herd of pigs. It also shows, I think, the demonic malevolence against materiality itself. They hate us most, but they hate everything of creation, which speaks and proclaims the goodness of the one against whom they rebelled. They want to destroy it all. Don't lose this either. The demon-infested pigs are drowned in the sea, in the water. Jesus is all about a water that shows the demons the door and seals them out of the lives of his own. Much more on that later in the book. Verse 33, "The herdsmen fled, and going into the city, they told everything, especially what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, all the city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to leave their region." The men had been so fierce that the folks in the city had avoided going anywhere near them. Luke mentions that the demoniac actually hung out at the local cemetery and was constantly cutting himself. But if the locals were scared of the demon-possessed man, they were even more scared of Jesus. He had done what none of them could do. He'd helped these men. So they wanted him gone, out of here. St. Jerome, another contemporary of St. Augustine, he at least gave the townspeople the benefit of the doubt and said they might have been speaking from humility rather than pride, and that they asked him to leave, just like Peter would say, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." Possibly. Now, Luke and Mark tell you that at least one of these men actually begged to go with Jesus, not to leave him. Sort of a mirror of what happened on the other side of the lake. "I want to go with you wherever you go." But because Jesus was in Gentile territory, Jesus dismissed the man and told him to go back home and to tell everyone the great things God had done for him. And we're told that he traveled to Decapolis announcing the great things that Jesus, who, as we know, is God with us, had done for him. You can assume the sidekick did too. That's where we're going to stop for today, people loved by God. Next time, a new chapter and one of my favorite passages in all the scriptures. Jesus heals the paralytic and forgives him. Till then, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. If you have a question or a comment about today's teaching, send an email to contact@thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.